Deep in the bowels of the Ministry of Phones is room 303, the dreaded chamber where Paul Mack's victims are subjected to the worst torture either they or he can imagine. Room 303 is a place where human aspiration ends, where, in 1985, the power of tyranny over boredom becomes final and absolute, when the last gleam of hope for intelligence goes out. This is the Movie Line.
I got a report here from the back of the room here. Just a minute, yeah. Did you know that if all Greyhound bus station restrooms were laid end to end, you wouldn't want to be there? Okay, maybe not. I know. Give it to Vanessa. She'll lick anything. Oh. I gotta go. I've been reading these magazines a little bit too long. But my girlfriend is something else, so I gotta go see her while I'm at it. She, you know, my girlfriend can recite the names of all the L.A. Lakers. Unfortunately, it's whenever we're making love. Well, I'll see you later.
Hey, this is Bob, and you just dialed 761-3330, and I just want to say, Paul Mack, it's a sensation being on the show, and how about that, Paul Mack? Isn't he something else? I got a little advice for you, Paul. Next time you're crossing the street, make sure you look both ways, up and down.
Meeting you with a view to a kill. Face to face in secret places, feel the chill.
He's got the best production values I've ever heard. The reason I'm calling is in answer to a comment I heard on last week's tape, wherein the caller was commenting on the ridiculous price of movie popcorn and refreshments, specifically at a United Artists Theater. Now, I'm the assistant manager of United Artists Theater, and what I've got to say to this guy is, you're absolutely right. We just recently raised our prices again. It now costs $3 to buy a large popcorn, $2 to buy a large Coke. We do have a $1 Coke, but it's about the size of a shot glass. A Hershey bar, something you can pay 75 cents, 50 cents for in a liquor store somewhere, is $2. And your basic box of Red Vines, the one I grew up with, the one I used to pay 75 cents a piece for, has now doubled and is $1.25. Isn't that ridiculous? However, I stopped picking my nose and eating it when I was about 3 or 4 years old, so I don't think that's a viable alternative. My suggestion would be pop your own and quit complaining. Anyway, happy 101, Paul. Until my next call, this is Dale Lacanata. See you at the movies.
Wow, that one almost got me. Hi, this is Paul Mack, back for another week of film listed fun on the Movie Line through the week of June 9th through the 13th, 1985. Well, you know, Dale, I kind of agree with you there on the United Artists Theater prices, because I did used to work for the United Artists at North Hollywood location, and, I was at a meeting there once, and they openly admitted that they were the most expensive and always the first to experiment with high prices. That's right, so beware, gang. The UA theaters are always the first to raise their ticket prices and candy prices. As a matter of fact, in Westwood, they started with the 1984, $6 a ticket. Well, wow, that's amazing. Bet a lot of you are wondering what's going on with me and the movie line. We'll get into that, or at least part of it, later on in this tape. We've got lots of comments from weeks ago, so let's get on with those, shall we? This is Paul Mack saying, loving it, for about one or two or three more times. Thank you.
Where did it start? Oh. I didn't even hear the beep. All right. Well, this is Max Music, otherwise known as Mark North Hollywood Jr., and I'm at home, and it's like 12:27 on a great Saturday, the, 11th? Yeah. Of May. I just saw a bitchin' movie, and I'd like to tell you about it. This movie I saw at school, and it was a documentary that I saw in a physiology class. Now, this movie deals with sex. Now, I shouldn't be seeing sex since I'm in 11th grade, but still, it showed, it was all about sex. It wasn't like pornographic or anything. It was just neat because they had all these shots with this camera that's about as thick as a hair follicle. And it was really neat because they stuck it up this girl's, you know what I mean, and they showed the egg coming through the, you know what it is. And then they went inside the man and they showed how everything worked and close-up pictures of everything happening. And then, get this, during sexual intercourse, they showed a man inside a woman, you know, yeah. Well, anyway, and then it showed all the little, those little tadpole things going up in the woman, you know, and getting up to the egg and then growing. Then they showed the baby coming out, and I mean, it was a great documentary. It was bitchin'. I mean, I don't know. I was, like, astounded with this film. I mean, it's the best documentary I've seen all year. In fact, it's the only documentary that I've seen all year. It's the only documentary I'm going to see all year because it was a bitchin' documentary. I don't know what the name of it is. I mean, I'm sure I can find out and tell you guys later. But anyway, this has been a public announcement from Max Music, otherwise known as Mark North Hollywood Jr., and, I saw Oingo Boingo last week, by the way, and this is Oingo Boingo called Green Matter, and it's a hot damn song. Danny Elfman loves Oingo Boingo, that's my shirt, but that's irrelevant. But anyway, I'll talk to you later, Paul. This has been Max Music on Mark North Hollywood Jr., and that's about it. Bye.
Well, hello, Paul. This is Karen, Grateful Dead, and, you and I doesn't have to worry about being a little different because you guys are different. Happy anniversary, happy birthday, or whatever it is, you know. I haven't called the tapes as much as I'd like to, but I don't really get around to seeing movies as much. You know, concerts, that's a different thing. But I'm glad to see your line is still rolling, and I do have a film review. I went and saw Mask. Oh, more than a couple weeks ago, almost a month ago. And I want to tell your listeners out there that that is one movie to go see. That movie is deep, leaves you with a good feeling, kind of sad and empty, but a good feeling. And Cher is definitely a spectacular actress in that. And Sam Elliott, well, he's damn good looking. But then he was good looking in Lifeguard too, so what can I say except go see Mask. It's a good movie, and happy birthday again, Paul. This has been Karen Grateful Dead.
You know, this is the best wrong number I ever dialed. Thanks. Bye.
Well, congratulations on 101 tapes. This is actually a special review. This is Bill Santamonica. I mean, this is not for the special. This is like for subsequent future tapes. Review one, Code of Silence, what a bundle of cliches. I mean, right down to the a door exploding, smoke screen, smoke clearing, and there is a tough cop standing with his legs apart and a gun held out to his side, straight from Clint Eastwood. Then there are fights atop moving trains, Steve McQueen style, chases underneath of subway trellises, a la French Connection, I don't think there was anything original in the movie, and I'm surprised that so many intelligent reviewers have enjoyed it. It just, I don't know, left me very cold of silence. The other thing is regarding these so-called Christian reviews that you've been leaving. I'm assuming you're doing them for entertainment purposes only. It's some of the most ridiculous stuff I think I've ever heard. People looking for two swords crossing and suggesting that that's some satanic cross. Excuse me? First of all, I challenge that person to find any biblical substance to such a thing as a satanic cross anyway. That's all after the fact, probably European-American, you know, a full 1,000 years after the authorities, to assume their point of view for a moment, have said anything about what we should and shouldn't do anyway. The idea of satanic images and backward masking has been so thoroughly debunked, to take it seriously is just ridiculous. So for entertainment value, it's great, but could you leave us the number so we can call back and enjoy the debate with them? Because I'd much rather have reviews from folks rather than from intellectually bankrupt idiots. Just a little judgment there. So, congratulations, and talk to you later.
Well, this is the first time I've called this. I don't know if anybody's mentioned it, but there's a movie called Birdie, which everyone should see. It's excellent. I think it was unjustly ignored by some critics, a lot of viewers, and definitely the Oscars. Excellent direction, acting, photography, sound, music by Peter Gabriel, editing. It's just excellent film all around. Good story. Interesting story. About two friends who both happen to go to Vietnam, although the emphasis of the story is on their friendship, unusual friendship. Just see it, Birdie, by Alan Parker. The director, anyway, is Alan Parker. The book it's based on is by William Wharton.
Hello, I am C-3PO, Human-Cyborg Relations. But apparently this week, I'm going to be called on to be Star Wars Reality Relations, because it appears that someone has taken offense at what is a great part of my makeup, the Star Wars saga. I, for one, am quite impressed with Mr. David Kyle and his Believer's Choice feature, but if he said the things that he's reported to say about Star Wars, I, for one, don't understand it. It appears to me to be a very clean-cut and clear good versus evil story. And indeed, the figure that Mr. Kyle has chosen to point out as satanic, Darth Vader, is turned from the dark side of the Force and sees the light, as it were, at the end of the third film. I don't see why everyone is so quick to find satanic influences in music and television and movies these days. It seems to me that if you could just enjoy a film for what it is, instead of trying to read in what's not there, you'd probably be a lot less uptight and tense. Star Wars is a very enjoyable film for me, and I hate for you to try and ruin it by telling me that I'm wrong to enjoy it and by telling me that it's evil or satanic. It seems a very clean-cut and clear good and evil tale, and good does indeed prevail. So, screw you, pal. Forgive me. This has been C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations, signing off for now.
Greetings, C-3PO. This is David Kyle, and I just was going to make a few comments about your comments. You almost made a hit with me, C-3, until you got into your ad hominem arguments. It's well known in debating circles that the person who has to stoop to personal attacks has not got a good argument to start with and is compensating, and we'll give you that. Let me tell you where I'm coming from with my comments on the Star Wars philosophy. The movie itself is a neutral ground. What I was commenting on was the philosophy inherent in the film. It says in the scriptures, and understand that every comment that I have comes from the perspective of believing everything the Bible says. Now in the Bible it says that in the last days that people will come, there'll be false prophets and they will come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they will be ravenous wolves. That means that people will come looking very nice. They'll look very good. They'll be in sheep's clothing. They'll look like the good guy. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So Satan is not the bad guy with the horns. He actually looks like a good guy. He preaches love and he talks about peace and he does even the most subtlest deception possible, and that is to come across as being a very benevolent influence. Now in Star Wars you have basically a Buddhist pantheistic philosophy which teaches that everyone is God. God is a part of everyone and everything. And that God is both good and evil. This is this denies the teachings of Christ. In essence, you're calling Jesus Christ a liar because he denied the pantheistic philosophies of the Eastern religions. And the danger in the Star Wars film is in getting people to accept this pantheism as reality. It's a very subtle underlying danger that is not apparent on the surface, and in most people's lives probably will do no damage. What I'm concerned with is a continual, constant repetition of this sort of doctrine in films and books and so forth, to a point where a person is so overwhelmed with that influence that he's persuaded in that direction, thereby denying Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save you. Just wanted to say a few comments. Thanks a lot, C3.
My name is Bond, James Bond. Yes, it's the brand new James Bond film, A View to a Killer. Now, does that sound English or what? I've already seen the screening of this film. I can tell you right now it's excellent. You got Roger Moore, 007 in it, of course. You got Grace Jones. Ooh, she's flashing. You got people in it. It's just incredible. You got to see this. 007 is back in Bond film. This is now, what, like 15th Bond film to come out? See it.
In the world of high adventure, the highest number is still 007. From the Siberian ice cap to the Eiffel Tower. From the center of the earth to the streets of San Francisco, has James Bond finally met his match? Find out in A View to a Kill. Title song by Duran Duran. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
This is Mark Heineman, and I promised I would call up about your film review line when I saw you last. I'm doing that now, but I'm not exactly going to review a film, but rather the results of a film. A man was recently arrested and may be given 30 years in prison, according to a jury, because he showed an adult movie in which people were copulating. It's interesting that on television they've been showing war pictures for years, killing people on TV, and that's been okay. Well, I just want to finalize this by saying one simple thing. Censorship, it does work. It does stop violence. It stopped violence against Hitler. It stopped violence against Stalin. It is stopping violence against the Ayatollah Khomeini. It also stops free thought. Do you really want that? Think about it. This is Mark Heineman saying you got your review. Take it easy.
This is Tony North Hollywood.
the only maniac, and I have just recently seen Rambo, except I liked it, except that there was one thing wrong with it. There was not enough murder in there, you know. Now, how can you have a movie like that that does not have enough murder? Come on now, I loved it, though. I give that movie an A. Absolutely awesome. And I want to say something about, when I had a friend who passed away just about a couple months ago. And I knew how that tape, when I listened to it, and, you know, and I couldn't, you know, I almost, you know, I said, oh, come on, because my friend was hit by a fucking drunk driver. One of these people going to learn that they should not drink and drive, and I just noticed that I'm not stuttering that much, but I guess that when you really get into something, it makes you real mad, and I guess you don't stutter, but I am going to kill the person that did that. I will tear his head off. Goodbye.
Yeah, this is George from Van Nuys. I did hear the Dan Ross Memorial tape, and I thought it was really good. I did not know Dan Ross at all. I've heard a lot of him. Sounds like a great guy. And I want to congratulate you guys for remembering him. And I want to congratulate you, Paul, for your 101st movie line tape. And speaking of the dual phase, I've been calling it lately, and I think you're experiencing some technical problems over there again. Just wanted to bring that to your attention. Well, that's all I really have to say. Thank you. Bye.
Long tone. Here comes the tone. No. Okay, this is Casey. And that output message is a little scratchy there. You might want to check that. I have a report, or a review, rather, of a movie that I just saw today. Booster's Brilliance. Now you got me doing this. Oh, my God. It's contagious. Yes, Brewster's Millions was excellent. Richard Pryor, John Candy, and a cast of great actors. I couldn't name any of the other ones because I don't know who they are, but it was very good. If you've seen the previews, you know it's about a guy who inherits $300 million, but he's got to spend $30 million in 30 days in order to, and there's several catches involved. And it's interesting because the guy's a minor league pitcher, and in this baseball scene, a couple of friends of mine are extras in there. Oh, I just thought I'd throw that in. But on a max scale from 1 to 10, I give it a 10. I know that's a little, you know, but hey, you know, it's a really good movie. It's the best movie I've seen in a long time. But, and that's saying a lot, because I like Pryor. Anyway, this is Casey, signing off. Good day.
Monty Brewster made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it.
They tell me you're my only living relative. You have 30 days in which to spend $30 million. If you can do it, you get $300 million. But if you fail, you don't get diddly.
What can I tell my friends?
Because I don't want anybody helping me out.
Now he has a $30 million problem. He has to use it.
Jake, I'd like to hire you as my official photographer. Salary, $10,000 a week.
How would you like to be my personal driver for the next 30 days at $5,000 a week?
What a country. America, I love it.
Or lose it.
I don't think I'm going to pull this off, but I'm going to have a lot of fun finding out.
$30 million. The manager's got $30 million given to him. This is a good day, you know.
Richard Pryor, John Candy, Brewster's Millions. From Universal Pictures, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now at select theaters, check newspapers for locations and showtimes.
Booster's Brilliance, now playing just about anywhere, including at, last time I checked, the Sherman Oaks 1 and 2, the brand new state-of-the-art theaters, which I had the opportunity to visit on reopening night And truly is state-of-the-art. State-of-the-art employee, state-of-the-art popcorn, state-of-the-art gum sticking at the bottom of the seats. No, it was a fine theater, really nice, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it here. Let's see, it reopened on May 22nd, 1985, and it reopened with Rambo, First Blood Part 2, and Mooster's Brilliance, and that's in Sherman Oaks, and it provides seating for over 900 patrons. And the Sherman Oaks 1 and 2's auditoriums feature state-of-the-art projection and sound, including 70mm Dolby Stereo and THX sound enhancement. Full-length curtains cover super brilliant wall-to-wall screens, and Tivoli lights guide patrons down wide aisles to plush self-rising seats. Each auditorium has been designed with wide spacing between rows to provide extra leg room. Look out, United Airlines. General Cinemas Theaters is a subsidiary of General Cinema Corporation, and that's the largest motion picture exhibitor, operating over 1,050 theaters in 37 states. And boy, I'm gonna have to get that secretary to type that up a little neater next time. The second issue at hand is a new magazine that really kind of gets to me. It's called, get this gang, Movie Line Magazine. Well, just Movie Line. Okay, and it's the complete guide to movies in Los Angeles. It's free. It's one of these little papers it's a little booklet you can pick up at record stores and what have you. Let's look through here. Let's see who we have to blame for this. The publisher, Boris Krutchinsky. I knew the Russians were behind this, folks. And publisher here. Let's read this letter to the readers. Let's see what we have here. Dear reader, it says, we may live in the motion picture capital of the world, as the big studios once proclaimed, but Los Angeles, including its tiny north central sector known as Hollywood, has never had its very own movie magazine, one that is strictly local, but definitely not provincial. Until now. Boy, I've heard that before. Until now. Years in the making, with a staff of thousands, 22, Movie Line will bring you the freshest information on what films are out, and where they're playing, and what time they start. All right. We'll amuse you, amaze you, dazzle and daze you as we interview major stars, directors, moguls, and general report the latest industry maneuvers and discuss the hottest movies, and how they got that way. We'll include quizzes to challenge the film buff, photos of the famous at play, even suggestions on where you can eat before and after you fill up on popcorn. Movie Line is your weekly guide to the magic that is movies. We hope you come to find it indispensable. Lori Halpern-Smith, editor-in-chief. Okay, Lori, we're after you. If the Movie Line wasn't going down, I'd definitely do something about this. However, you are a registered trademark, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. Who knows who's listening out there in the telephone world? It's really hard to say. It could have been you, Lori. Who knows? Anyway, that's it. And so be looking for Movie Line Magazine. More on the demise of Paul Mac Presents next week. We haven't time to go into it this week. That's going to do it for this week. And I'd like to thank everybody for calling. And remember, leave your input at Movie Line Input at 761-0333. And, we'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hate mail goes to P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023. And if you'd like to leave any crass messages or maybe some input on some really fun films, you can call 761-0333. When dialing from the West Valley, you poor suckers, 906-3000. My name is Jim Clothesline. I know, I'm not the greatest thing in the world, but hey, I need some help now, okay, boys and girls? Mr. Mac, who just cannot afford a decent meal anywhere, has this Model T playback machine, and I need some help winding this thing up again. So on the count of three, I want you all to help. Ready? One, two, three.
Don't go away. This tape will repeat momentarily.